Hello and welcome to the All 32 podcast. Who are we? We're just a bunch of regular NFL fans from across the UK. We want to help create a new community of NFL fans and want to help and teach new fans about the game we love. We're primarily a blog full of written content by the fan because the fan knows best. This week I'm joined by my co-hosts, Sean, Rob and Lee. Lee is bouncing from wall to wall. Lee, why are you bouncing from wall to wall and how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Still pretty excited about winning on Sunday. So, yeah. I did predict the Dolphins would win. Not sure that I envisioned it being quite the way it panned out. But, yeah good Sunday.
I don't think anybody could have predicted that final play and the madness that ensued. I think I turned over just, the Browns game finished probably 30 seconds before that. Turned over to Red Zone and they were just showing the replay. And I can only imagine that during the live sort of scenes, it was just, well, we're going to lose this. And then suddenly next second, you're in like cloud nine heaven and just like really understand what's just happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of jumping around and shouting in my house. A friend of mine was at a Christmas party. He was trying to phone me saying, did that just happen? Because he's got the scores kind of coming through in a text form. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It makes up for some of the poor games we've had to sit through the rest of the season.
How did you describe that in text form? You'll never know. You'll never guess what's just happened because I can't describe that. I just like... Just a lot of passing happened on one play. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was interesting because they actually run that play every Saturday in the walkthrough. And there's video footage of them going through it this Saturday. And it pans out exactly how they
played it.
Practiced it. So I think they deserve a lot of credit for it not just being go out there and throw the ball around and see what happens. So there is a plan.
That is quite amazing. All right, well, the next co-host I'm going to introduce this week. Sean, you're also bouncing from wall to wall. Why are you bouncing to wall to wall, and is it the same reason that I am?
More than a lot, I actually really enjoyed watching the Browns game on Sunday. It was a game that felt like it was in the balance for a long portion of the game, but for a strange feeling, it actually felt like the Browns were never going to lose, in my opinion, despite some of the turnovers and penalties. In terms of penalties, myself, Rob and Chris were on... I mean, a chat on Sunday, and the third quarter just took an absolute age. I think there was about 15 penalty flags thrown in a quarter. I've never seen officiating like it, to be honest. Every other play seemed like a flag, but that was a really good game. Good to see us obviously back in the win column. Amazing that we'll be talking shortly about the games this weekend, and the Browns still mathematically in with a small squeak of the playoffs. Even just to have that opportunity at this stage of the season is remarkable. Another win for our interim coach. Great article from yourself, Chris, around potentially coming round to being a believer. We did say last week we overreact to everything, so let's see where the next 3 weeks take us. Really, really, really good week. And obviously my heart pours out to Rob. I'm sure he had a terrible Sunday.
I think we need to probably take a bit of heed from Murph's article last week that we discussed on the pod. About overreacting when it comes to Mondays. We probably need to do that ourselves between the first three of us and heed that advice because we are all bouncing. Rob, however, is not bouncing and he's probably not overreacting. Rob, not a great week for you, but how are you?
I'm all right. I think that ref needs to have flags taken off him. Because I think when he gets home, he starts throwing flags around his own home just for the sake of throwing flags around. There were more flags than I've ever seen in an NFL game there. But like I said last week, I thought the Browns would win. And to be honest, I'm happy the Browns sort of won to prove that they're not the Browns, if that makes sense. They're not the Browns as of the season before last and the season before that. It shows they're in some form of attack mode now where they're trying to prove that they're not just another win for any team that they play. So it was good to see. It was good to see, like I was saying to you guys in the chat on Sunday, Mayfield was just, he just doesn't care. He's like, yeah, I'll throw it all the way down there and watch what happens. It will work. And it worked. And you can't pick faults in anything like that. But it just goes to show things I've been saying previously about the Panthers. Rivera were calling the defensive plays. So does that make him at fault now and there's nothing wrong with our defensive coordinator, or who's to blame? Nobody knows anymore.
I mean, there's probably bigger problems in Carolina, probably with talent level as well. I wasn't overly impressed by some of the players that just came into the game didn't really impress me, or they weren't like blowing it away. You expect them to come in and sort of try and make an impact, and they just weren't. The peak behind the curtain is that third quarter probably took a year off my life. I was just waiting for bed, and I was just waiting. I was just like, how is this third quarter taking an hour? Desperate for it at that point.
It took far too long.
It was absolutely crazy. Anyway, as Sean alluded to earlier, our first sort of subject of this week, I wrote an article. I'm blowing my own trumpet. It's an alright article, 7 out of 10. Just when you thought you could predict the NFL, as we all thought we could last week, it completely blows your mind again. This week, who had the Raiders beating the Steelers? Any of you guys?
No.
Nope.
Who had Miami winning on a play full of laterals? Anyone?
Lee.
I had them winning. I didn't get the laterals.
It was close. Who had the 49ers beating the Broncos? The Broncos were red hot coming into this. Who had that going? No one again?
Nope.
And I think the last one, I keep banging the drum for them, the Chicago Bears. Are they for real? Can defense win championships? We're going to discuss that more in depth later. But what a crazy weekend. What an absolute bonkers weekend. The Raiders tanking. Sean, what were your thoughts about this weekend and how some of these wild, unpredictable things just keep happening in the league that we all love?
I think it just demonstrates what we do love it, doesn't it? I think, you know, every week, you know, I have the unenviable task of writing the preview column for all 32, and I sort of share my picks with everybody so everyone can see how horrific my selections were this weekend. It's there for all to see. But as you said there, a couple of those teams, I mean, the 49ers, the Raiders in particular, I just didn't see them winning another game all season, let alone this weekend. And it just goes to show the unpredictable nature of it. One of the things that whenever somebody approaches me about getting into the game, about what is it appealing, it is very much around the fact that there is parity in the league. It's designed to create that parity. It doesn't always work, as we know. You know, we've all got different levels of success within our own teams that we support. But the idea behind the league is everyone can spend the same amount of money, or has to spend the same amount of money. If you're the worst team the year before, you get the choice of, in theory, the better prospects coming out of college to improve your roster. Your schedule is set up so that you're playing different teams year in and year out, and always on that schedule is two games against teams from different divisions that finished in the same position as you the previous year. So again, the whole league is designed to create what it, you know, delivers week in and week out. You've mentioned a couple of games there. You know, if you look across the season about the number of games that finish on a final possession, I know a few of you guys watch the Red Zone, and I know a number of the people that we interact with on Twitter and Facebook are big fans of Red Zone, which is obviously the sort of, you know, Sunday night show that shows the highlights of all the games whilst they're happening. And the presenter on there, you know, that final hour of the first window is, you know, what he lives for week in and week out. The amount of games that are final possession, you know, it's just incredible what it produces week in and week out. And it is an absolute joy to watch. You know, I think for me, it's one of the major, major reasons that I really do love the game. There's no such thing as a given. And, you know, that's been proved week in and week out this year for me.
No. Couldn't agree more. Just on the 49ers, I don't think anybody would have had those two winning this weekend. I think I described one of them on the pod last week as the only battle of the day was for the number one pick. Suddenly, both are now out of contention because both have probably screwed themselves over. But I'm not really sure how. I wasn't convinced by, I mean, Raiders are blowing themselves up. The 49ers, with Nick Mullins at quarterback, I thought they'd reset again. I mean, he had a good game early in the season against the Raiders in the fourth, but you can't really count that as any of the Raiders. But then he's now beaten what is feasibly a good defense in Denver, mainly thanks to probably Greg Kittle, and tight end has absolutely blown up this year. Like, in a year where tight ends don't seem to be having much joy or really blowing up, I mean, we're going to now talk about tight ends and ask Lee for his opinion on his favourite tight end in the league right now.
Oh, yes. There's no better than watching Rob Gronkowski fall on his face while trying to tackle a running back going into the end zone.
I was hoping that that setup would work. But there was a brief second there where people behind the curtain of the league looked slightly confused before just giggling in pure joy.
Well, compose myself first.
finally for Rob, go on.
Just to go off like more of what Sean said, you'd never get this in what we'd call the Premier League or anything like this. You're always going into a game, especially as a Burnley fan myself, you know you're going to get beat week in and week out, but you don't know what's going to happen, and this past weekend just mirrors that exactly. And it's the reason why we all love the NFL. And if anyone is looking to get into American football, I would say watch those games in 40 from the past weekend, definitely. Lee?
Yeah, just to go along with what you guys have already said, with the way the Browns season especially started, things looked a little bit bleak, kind of the same old story. With 3 weeks to go, there's a mathematical chance of getting the playoffs. Whether it's realistic or not is another matter, but they're competitive games with 3 games to go, and that's all that matters. You know, you can't... That's what you follow these teams. Yeah. Sean?
Yeah, I think just to add on to that, it's not just the Browns. I think, you know, I saw something crazy. I mean, there'll probably be one or two more eliminated, but I think after like 12 or 13 weeks, there were only two or three teams mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. Yeah, that's sort of 90% of the league still with something to play for with 2 or 3 weeks left. Yeah, that shows everybody just how close it is, doesn't it? Chris?
I think if you just look at the AFC playoff picture, probably says it all. There's about 6 teams which can still make the wild card spot, or one of the wild card spots, and it's just absolutely crazy. Like, 2 weeks ago, you would have said, Christ, I can't see who's going to do it. You thought, right, give it 2 weeks, we'll see who can make it. Still sat here going, I don't have a clue who's going to get that spot. Sure?
We could talk about the Browns playoff chances all night, Chris, just between me and you, but just a very quick question on it. Do you think the Browns have got more chance of getting the playoffs as division winners or as wild card?
I would say division winners is more likely. I think the wild card, too many things need to happen. So they're 2 games behind a lot of the teams. While the division, you look at it, the Steelers have got a tough schedule. I think they've got both the Saints and the Patriots. The Browns have the Ravens in week 17, which if they win, they would jump above the Ravens as it is now. So I think the best possible chance for the Browns is division winners. I think the wild card spot is either going to Miami, the Colts, or Titans. I think it's a free horse race between those now. I think one of the AFC North teams is going to fall out completely. And I think... who's the other team in it? Someone remind me quick. Blanked my mind. Lee.
Huh? Sorry, I was gonna say something about your guys' division. The Steelers are a really strange team. I mean, they play up or down to the level of their competition. It's unbelievable. I'm still not convinced by the Ravens, personally. And I actually had a bet pre-season on you guys to win a division. So if you just keep winning, that'd be great.
We'll try our best to. I think it was 2 weeks ago on our second pod. We were talking about Phil Smith after, which was great. I believe Phil's a listener to the show. He was saying that we all pointed out that Steelers could be in a bit of a crisis without Bell, and we all brushed it off. Phil brushed it off. And then on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, Phil brushed it off and said, maybe we are in crisis. Like, maybe the Steelers actually are. Like, James Conner going down to injuries certainly not helped them, and they look a different team. But are the Steelers in crisis, Sean?
I think it just goes to show that once you get to this time of year, I'll get back to my favourite topic. You know, you need a good running game. You need that reliable running game. And I think the teams at this stage of the year that show balance are the teams that ultimately will be the ones that prove to be successful. You know, if you look at what the Saints were doing, you look at what the Rams were doing, they were putting up 35, 40 plus points a week. You know, that's slowed down now. It gets to this time of year, it gets a little colder, it gets a little wet, and all of a sudden, you know, that's that old cliche, isn't it, of defences win championships. And I think if you can find that balance, you know, it's those teams that find the balance. And even if the balance is that you've just got a good enough running game that actually that opens up your passing game. I think, you know, to Lee's point about the Ravens, where they, you know, don't convince me is they're too much the other way now. They don't have that passing threat, certainly with Jackson at quarterback, and I've got that game to preview shortly, so I'll touch on that in a bit more depth. But I think the teams that show balance will be the ones that come through, and I think the Steelers, you know, desperately need Connor back this week. I think, you know, he probably will be. But I'm just getting him back on the field. I need to get him back involved in the game plan. You know, when we talked about it 2 weeks ago, Connor's carries were down week on week. They need, in my opinion, to get back to that, Chris.
So what do we think about, just touching on one of your points then, and sort of converting it to the NFC as well? You talk about a good running game. Do the Giants actually stand a chance of also making the playoffs behind Barkley and an incredible running game, but nothing else? They have nothing else behind them. Lee?
I've got a bit of an interesting thought on the Giants, and I know I'm in the minority. I believe Odell Beckham's a touch overrated, because I think they forced the ball to him way too much, and actually him being out this weekend probably allowed them to open that offense up. I know they were playing a super banged up team in the Redskins, but they still put the points up. And in weeks previous, they didn't look like they'd put those points up if they played all night. So, it's not that I think Odell's a bad player. I just think that because he's good, they try and force everything through him. And I don't know if ultimately that serves them in the best way possible. Actually, I think it makes them at times easy to defend.
I'd probably agree with that. I think without Odell in the lineup, and you do see it sometimes when there is a star wide receiver on the team, the quarterback gets too friendly to that one wide receiver. I think we're probably also seeing the same effect in Atlanta right now, where Matt Ryan is just throwing it straight at Julio Jones every time and hoping that Julio, he can throw it and it'll stick with Julio. And he's not really doing what Matt Ryan can do and finding every receiver on the field or creating mismatches elsewhere. Keeping on the NFC sort of race going up.
I think just to clarify what you guys are saying about picking out certain players, that seems to be the theme with us at the minute. I think obviously we all know how much I deeply love Christian McCaffrey, but he's overused way too much, and Cam's shoulder being as bad as it is at the minute, and Heinicke having to come in the last quarter every time, we've no use for wide receivers anymore. We never throw to them. We never give the ball to them. He can't throw it to them physically. Every ball is over, under, or outthrown. There's nothing used. It's just always given to McCaffrey. And we got rid of CJ Anderson as well. So that's why I don't see any way forward for us until we sort of figure out what's going on, to be honest.
No, it's a good point. And it's another one Panthers for so long have been trying to find that wide receiver, haven't they, to pick up that mantle of being Cam's weapon and Cam's favourite toy. And they seemingly never seem to find it. McCaffrey seems to have been a revelation, and especially this year, seems to have broken through again. You're not going to tell me wrong, Rob, but...
No, I think you are right, and I think we did find a plausible tie in DJ Moore. I mean, the guy is a great receiver, but it just leads me back to thinking the same thing every time I watch our team play. Do we need to get a new quarterback? I think it might be time for Cam to step down and us draft somebody that can possibly fill his shoes some point along the line.
That's an interesting point. Going back to the original subject, taking it all the way back, at this point in the season, with 3 weeks to go, is there another competition in the world where 26 out of 32 teams can still win it all technically? Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. That is why NFL fans in the UK and around the world love the game. Do we have any final say on this before we move to our on-the-clock segment? No? We're all good?
Let's go.
On the clock.
So I'm going to kick off our on-the-clock segment this week. I'm going to start with the Thursday night matchup, Chargers at Chiefs. This might be the biggest game of the week. This game might not only just decide the AFC West, but it might decide where the AFC playoffs go through. Will it be LA and no home advantage, or will it be Kansas City, the supposed loudest stadium in the States? Patrick Mahomes is making a serious case for MVP now. That no-look pass at the weekend, I don't know how many people saw that, but that was just simply incredible. If I was to try that, I would have probably ended up punching myself in the face. So I'm now maybe going away from Drew Brees onto the Patrick Mahomes bandwagon. This is an absolutely massive game. I think the Chargers might actually now be the better, well-rounded unit. The Chiefs have got a few injuries, which have probably cost them, and also the fact that Kareem Hunt's suspension and release is ultimately going to cost them. Are the Chargers peaking at the wrong time? Did the Chiefs peak too early? I'm going to go for a narrow Chargers win. Anybody got any thoughts on this massive Thursday night matchup, Lee?
Do you think that it's a shame this game is on a Thursday with how road teams have played this year? Do you know what I mean? We saw the Saints go to Dallas and lose on a Thursday in kind of not their normal fashion. And just this would be a great Sunday night football game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think this game deserves to be Sunday night football, deserves like the prime spot, and also that would allow all of us to watch it as well. Thursday nights are an absolute nightmare for fans in the UK, as many of us know, and anybody who's trying to get into the game here, you'll understand that as soon as you start getting into it, Thursday night game comes around. Am I staying up to 1 o'clock on a Friday morning? I might have to book the day off work. Sean?
Yeah, I think the other thing with this being on a short week and where it potentially hurts the Chiefs is obviously Spencer Ware went down with an injury at the back end of last week. He did come back into the game, but he didn't practice yesterday. We're recording this on a Tuesday, so we've obviously only had one day of practice, but he didn't practice yesterday, so that'll be interesting. You know, potentially that's the fourth choice or third or fourth choice running back that potentially then he's suiting up for the Chiefs. I mean, for me, this, like you say, I don't think there's any doubt it's the game of the week. I'm just running through the rest of the card here, and I don't see another game that's got as much riding on it on an individual basis. I think, you know, you summed it up really nicely there, Chris, in terms of what it does mean. Just one thing for me on the Patrick Mahomes thing. I think the blind pass or the no-look pass was great, but the play that he made on that fourth down, when he actually was looking at what he was doing, I'm sure he knew what he was doing with the no-look one. Well, that play to Tyreek Hill was just sensational.
He lives for the big moments, doesn't he? He lives for the big moments. He seems to get them, and just has that ability and has that it factor that I think quarterbacks, if they want to be not only the MVP but sustained success in this league, they need, and he has that. We're going to now move on to Texans at Jets. Lee is going to tell us all about those J-E-T-S.
Yeah, we don't like the Jets, so we're going to move on from them. no, in all seriousness, the great thing about this game, it's on a Saturday night, so we get more football this week, more football that we can watch in live, which I think is always a good thing. It's a 9:30 kickoff, so it's still fairly late, but, you know, any chance for extra football, I think, is a good thing. I thought the Texans come off a disappointing loss at home. They were playing a hot Colts team that have been playing really well. But I think at home, they would have liked to have won that, sort of almost put that division to bed. The Jets lost against the Bills last week. But I think the Texans should have enough to win this game. The only thing is, it is in New York. So I think that always gives you a couple of extra points at home. But I'm taking the Texans in this game.
I think it's probably a safe bet to take the Texans in this game. I'm still not convinced by the Texans. Like, every week last week they played the Browns, they blew my doors away, and I was like, ah, I'm finally convinced. And then this week they seem to have come back to earth even. They've only beat one winning team this year. That was the Redskins. And I think that was the game where Alex Smith got injured. That to me doesn't scream like a team that can run the table when it comes to January. They might get a bye yeah, this week because their schedule is really favourable because they were so terrible last year. We're going to now move on to the Browns at the Broncos. Sean?
Yeah, so similar to what Lee's just said there, this game is also Saturday night in the US. Unfortunately for us, it's the late Saturday evening game, so it is live football, but it's a 20 past one in the morning start on Sunday for any of us that want to stay up and watch it. As I said in the earlier section we were talking about there, amazing that this game has still got playoff ramifications for both sides, actually. The Broncos looked dead and buried weeks ago. They put a nice run together and then laid a complete egg last week against the 49ers, which nobody saw coming. I thought that was a really bad look, actually, for the coaching staff. They just struck me, from the bits that I've seen so far, to just come out and expect that W to be put onto the board. You know, they didn't seem up for the game at all. And by the time they did, they were 20-0 down and in a hole. So they need to bounce back. Obviously, for the Browns, you know, continue to build momentum. I think if you take away the first half performance against the Texans, you know, the six quarters since then, Mayfield has played some superb ball. Rob alluded to a couple of the throws that he made last week. You know, first play of the game, 66-yard long ball, responding to a sort of Panthers drive that had took plenty of time off the clock and obviously had led to a touchdown for them. Baker answered straight away. And there was one throw he made to Jarvis Landry for a touchdown, which, again, was just an incredible throw. The only place that Landry was going to catch it. So a superb performance. Interesting matchup this one is the Chubb cousins. So Bradley Chubb, who was widely rumoured to be a pick for the Browns in the draft, they ultimately ended up taking Denzel Ward as cornerback. But Bradley Chubb, defensive end, so pass rusher for the Broncos. He's having a great season. He's had, I think he's up to 12 sacks now on a personal level. So he's playing well. And obviously Nick Chubb, the running back for the Browns, taking in the second round. The guy I like to refer to as the $16 million draft pick after the Brock Osweiler trade that the Browns eventually just paid for a draft selection. But he's certainly proven his worth. So for me, I think it's actually, again, a really interesting game. I've obviously got a lot of interest in it for being a Browns fan. But I think for the neutral, this is, you know, for me, without doubt, the pick of the two Saturday night games, and one that I'm really looking forward to. I'm going to continue to back the Browns. I don't see any reason why not to. You know, I think they look good all around. I would like to see the defense tightened up. You know, it does rely too much on the big play and the turnover. There's far too many yards given up, particularly to tight ends. We just cannot defend a tight end at all. We made Ian Thomas from the Panthers look like Gronkowski last week. So we really need to tighten that up. But apart from that, I'm really pleased with how things are going. And I think, you know, fingers crossed, Chris, for another Browns win.
Let's hope so. Talking about tight ends, the Broncos are also terrible against the tight end. So that's going to be an interesting tight end sort of battle this week. I can't believe that Baker Mayfield actually gives me hope. Like, every week I'm sort of pinching myself going, the Browns have got a quarterback. Next week, the Browns have actually got a quarterback. It's an unreal feeling. The Broncos, however, was defeat last week actually subtly a good thing for them? Because this might now signal the end of Vance Joseph and allow the Broncos to get that fresh start that they probably need, because there's a lot of talent on that roster.
I think that, you know, their issues for me probably lie in the quarterback position. I don't think Case Keenum's, you know, he's certainly not the player that he was last year with the Vikings, is he, when they picked him up in free agency. He's certainly not performed at that level. I don't think there's as much talent on the team as there was at the Vikings last year in his defence. But I think that's where their issues are. I can't say I've watched a lot of them. I hear a lot of, you know, the sort of stuff on Twitter and read that kind of stuff. And I don't think Joseph's got an awful lot of fans. I think at this stage of the season, when a team is 6-6, you can't ever really say a loss is a good thing. Particularly with how tight that playoff picture is, as we've alluded to. You know, but ultimately, you know, up until that 2 or 3 week run where they put some good performances together, that's kind of how they have been playing. You know, so maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks has actually been a bit of an exception to the rule.
Yep, no, that's certainly interesting. Right, now we're going to move on to the Cardinals, who are one of the eliminated teams already from this season, and the Falcons, who, if they lose this week, they will also be eliminated. Rob, you're going to tell us all about it.
I'd love to tell you all about it, mate, but it's unfortunately two teams I really don't follow. Let's be honest. There are games that all those guys at all 32 get that we're not too keen on getting. Sean pointed that out last week, lovingly. But to be honest, I did have a look into it. The Cardinals obviously are currently sitting 3-10, Falcons 4-9. Anybody's guess as to what can happen. Jones is on another 1,400 yard season, but looking into that, and to be honest, he's overshadowed by the current record of the team massively. You can't have guys putting up them sort of numbers and then have teams having that sort of record currently. But just due to that record in itself, I'm going to have to go with them to win, to be honest. That's as much as I've got.
The Falcons at home, I probably would also go along with that. I can't wait till the Cardinals now win in the league that we know nothing about. The Lions and the Bills is my game. Ooh, this is going to be an ugly watch for someone. If you're not a Lions fan or you're not a Bills fan, you probably don't want to watch this game. Josh Allen is picking up yards on the floor. For those who are new to the NFL, Josh Allen is the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. He's primarily meant to be picking up yards in the air. He's also his perfect prototype body to throw the ball. So it's quite incredible that he is currently the sixth highest rookie rusher at the moment, which is incredible in itself. If I had to push for one of these, or probably would be the Bills, just Sean.
I think just in terms of Josh Allen, one thing that for me stands out is, I think, you know, just in terms of his rushing, I think he broke a Michael Vick record this week in terms of rushing yards, which you would never have ever thought that coming through the draft process. I think, as you alluded to there, he's the stereotypical, the prototype that you'd look for in terms of arm strength, body build, that kind of stuff. The Bills, though, seem just another team intent on trading whatever weapons they may or may not have away. You know, Kelvin Benjamin was cut this week, who, you know, once was with Rob Panthers, who, you know, had a decent rookie season and not done an awful lot since. But where's he been picked up this week? He's been picked up by the Chiefs. So, you know, there is obviously some talent there, and it just seems as though teams are too quick to get rid of people. You know, if I take Breshad Perriman, who we picked up from the Browns, you know, we had him after three disappointing seasons, it's got to be said, with the Ravens. Again, a change of scenery, and he seems to be doing okay. I think, you know, Josh Allen's going to have some growing pains. I'm not saying he's ever going to be a brilliant quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he needs some weapons around him, to be fair to him, to see if he has got anything at all at his disposal. Lee?
Yeah, just to continue with Josh Allen, I saw him play a couple of weeks ago, obviously, against the Dolphins, and he's taking a lot of unnecessary hits. And I know his legs are a weapon, but you just worry about the longevity. You know, we've seen players like RG3 or even Lamar Jackson. You know, he's only a young career, and they've already taken quite a beating. I just think for the long term, they need to maybe try and get him to pass a little bit more out of the pocket, keep him safe.
That's what he should be doing. Should be learning how to pass. Should be trying not to run him. Actually, trying to use his arm strength to be a better player. Talking about players with incredible arm strength, the Packers are at the Bears, but I don't fancy the incredible arm strength quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Give me them Bears, Lee.
Yeah. So this is an interesting game. The Packers got the obligatory, we sacked our coach and got a win last week. Yeah, I don't think it was pretty, but they ground it out. They travelled to the Bears, obviously coming off a big win. And I think this is actually, it could have been a trap game, but I believe this is actually going to be a statement game for the Bears, saying this is our division going forwards. The Vikings don't look that strong. We'll come on to them in a little bit. But I think they'll have enough to beat the Packers and actually worry a little bit, because Aaron Rodgers has been playing banged up all year, and I don't think the answer to that problem is to see Khalil Mack too often.
Is Khalil Mack the defensive player of the year?
No, because I saw Brock Osweiler beat them. That's good enough for me.
Rules him out. We're now going to move on to Raiders at Bengals, Sean.
Yeah, so this is my stinker of the week that you've given me.
We all get one, mate.
We do. That's very, very fair. stunning win last week for the Raiders, like we said earlier. I don't think anybody expected that. Probably even more unexpected. And you know, I know that Lee's penning an article currently. Why on earth are they just fighting the GM after picking up a win? That just seems completely and utterly bizarre. However, Reggie McKenzie is gone, so it's definitely the John Gruden show. So looking forward to Lee's article dropping in the near future. In terms of the Bengals, to be fair to them, they are just so banged up at the minute. I just went through some of the players that are either on IR or didn't play last week, and it is a who's who of the Cincinnati Bengals. It really is. You know, Cordy Glenn, the starting left tackle, AJ Green, Vontaze Burfict, Jake Fisher, Andy Dalton, Drake Kirkpatrick. They are incredibly banged up, to be fair to them. They've also got Hugh Jackson on the sideline, which is obviously another hindrance for them to overcome. And apparently, I think he may well be the only coach in history to get two sides to the bottom of the division in the same season, which is something he can hang his hat on. I don't see the Bengals winning another game this year. I know we've talked about not being able to predict anything, so who knows, and maybe this is the week that they turn it round. I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but I'm actually going to pick the Oakland Raiders.
A mad situation. I actually might agree with you. Rob's currently shaking his head. Rob, no. As well as telling us why you're shaking your head, give us the Cowboys and Colts.
Shaking me, because I think Lee does possibly agree. I don't agree with what the Raiders are doing at the minute. I think there should be fines for that team for just throwing games just so they can go shopping in the draft, but that's my opinion, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of hate about that. Cowboys at Colts. For me, this is going to be an awesome game of football. To anybody that is new to the NFL, as long as we have a few other games this week, I'm going to go with that you've got to watch this game. What, Amari Cooper? Everyone's seen him play at the weekend? Exactly. Yep. Everyone's nodding. I think he's gone, like you say, he's gone to a new home, fresh scenery. He's absolutely balling at the minute. Andrew Luck is playing out of his skin at the minute as well. He's adding fuel to the fire over at Indianapolis. I couldn't call this one, in true honesty, due to the fact of they've both got a certain set of weapons that can outplay the other team's set of weapons, in my opinion. That's as far as I can go with that one.
No, Chris. No, I'd agree with that. I think of all the 6 o'clock games, I hope Sky putting this one on, and anybody who's listening who's new to the NFL gets to watch this game, because I think it is the pick for the 6 o'clock kickoffs by an absolute mile.
Yeah.
Lee is going to now tell us about his own Miami Dolphins and the Minnesota Vikings, who have today sacked John the Flipper.
So, yeah, I think that actually makes this game a little bit more interesting, because I think the Vikings are a team that haven't been playing well. And I don't know if it's just the offensive coordinator. We'll obviously find out this week if that was the problem. But I believe that makes them hard to play this week, because the tendencies will change somewhat. And that would be a good thing for the Vikings, but a bad thing for my Dolphins. So, you know. But in terms of this game, it's got a lot of playoff implications for both teams. Both need a win. My bias is coming through again, so I'm going to pick the Dolphins in a one-score game. Why not?
It makes it as unpredictable as a 69-yard play full of laterals for a game clincher.
Exactly. So,
a quick word on this game.
Yeah, so just a quick word, and just to disappoint you on the previous game, it is actually the Dolphins and Vikings that's been chosen for the early window on Sky this week. I do apologise, but there you
we're
go.
We're now all crying.
There you go.
Thanks, Sean.
Sorry, guys.
Talking about crying, the Titans at the Giants. A defeat for one of these teams this week will probably effectively rule them out of the playoff picture in either the NFC or the AFC. This game has sneaky big playoff implications. The Titans ran all over, and I hope that everyone has now seen Derrick Henry's amazing 99-yard touchdown against the Jaguars, where he literally ran through three defenders like they were little toddlers at a birthday party. It was insane. If the Titans can keep doing that on the ground, then they can make a real charge. And they're coming up against a team that might have the best running back in the league in rookie Barkley, because that Giants O-line has been terrible for years. Terrible for the start of this year. Eli Manning is a statue in the pocket still. they're still getting it done, and it's all because of Barkley and his ability to make tacklers miss. Any word on that game, guys? Sean?
I think just on Barkley as much as on the game itself. I think Barkley was one that obviously divided opinion when it came to the draft, and the often asked question is, do you draft a running back that high? I think if you ask the Giants to do that pick again, would they do it knowing what they know now? And despite the issues at quarterback, I think they absolutely would run up to the podium and put the ticket in again. I think, you know, his production has just been absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, I know there's the argument you can find a running back anywhere in the draft, and I hear that all the time, but that kid is obviously a special, special talent. And, you know, if he produces like this over the course of the coming weeks and over the coming seasons, I don't think the Giants will have any regrets whatsoever about the selection that they made. Lee?
Yeah, just to sort of echo what you said, you can't pass up Saquon Barkley. Any team that would have been mad, in my opinion. You can find a running back, you can find a serviceable running back anywhere. You can't find Saquon Barkley or Todd Gurley anywhere, or an Ezekiel Elliott. Those sort of running backs just don't grow on trees. And I believe that if the Giants want to move on from Eli Manning, which they should do, the best way to do that is to have the receiving core set, which they do, to have a decent tight end, which they kind of do, and then to have your running game to make it easier on a rookie quarterback. He hasn't got to go in there and carry this team. And I believe that that is the part of the thinking behind, well, we take the best player in the draft. And that was Saquon.
The only team to skip on Barkley in the draft was, of course, the Browns with Mayfield, which ultimately I am so happy we did. So it's one of those situations where the first two teams that picked in last year's draft have both improved massively because of who they took with their first pick, and both would probably pick the exact same player again. We're now on to another stinker, and sorry, Rob, you had a second one here, the Redskins at the Jags.
Yeah, keeping it short and sweet, obviously. As you say, it's a stinker for me yet again. Season over for both of these teams. Let's look forward to the draft. They just both seem in a current state of disarray at the minute. None of them seem to stand out from the highlights I've watched. They both just seem to survive games, make the odd good play, and just go from there. There doesn't seem to be anyone or anything that's standing out in either team's offense, defense, or anything like that. I just both think they need to sit down, trade, and rebuild over off-season, get in the draft, and see where we go from there. But if I was going to have the call, I'd go with a Jags win, just because I think the Skins are missing out on QB1 at the minute.
Chris? No, I probably agree with that. The Redskins might actually need a new quarterback in the draft this year, despite having Alex Smith come over last year. His broken leg, is worse than first feared and could be career-ending. That has massive implications for that franchise. They get a second round pick, hoping that it'll be around for 2 or 3 years. Pretty much gone. Lee?
Yeah, they've also got a lot of money tied up in him, but after giving him a contract, a lot of that is guaranteed. And I get getting a thumbs up from Sean here. It's that sort of thing that ties your team up for a few years, and that could be devastating as much as the on the field, but the actual sort of next couple of years for them. I think, does anyone think that since Jalen Ramsey started sort of running his mouth on social media that he's actually made a bit of a prat of himself? Because he's a super talented guy, and he's so fun to watch. And since he's done that, the team has fallen apart, and his play has been up and down. For every spectacular play, there's another one where at least you're scratching your head with it. You go, phew, I'm not really sure what they were doing there.
The guy's an idiot, if you ask me.
I agree.
Why talk so much if you can't back yourself up? Sean is, however, going to talk a lot, and he's going to tell us all about the Bucs at the Ravens.
Yeah, so I think touched on this earlier in terms of when we started talking about running quarterbacks, and as Lee alluded to, Lamar Jackson took a big hit at the end of last week, had to come out for the final series. I think, again, it looks like he'll be okay for this week, but I think the Ravens are reaching that point where they're going to have to make a decision now. Joe Flacco looking like he may well be back. There were rumours he was going to dress last week. He ultimately didn't, but he's certainly getting close. And although the Ravens have been on a winning streak, I think I called it last week, you know, if you look at the defences that Jackson has been up against, he certainly has got a nice, easy start to life in the NFL. Moving forward, certainly very much in wildcard or even AFC North contention. Big decision coming there for the Ravens, what they do at the quarterback position. To be fair to them, they did give the Chiefs all they could handle last week. And like I say, won Mahomes' fourth down conversion away from actually winning that game. So, you know, I would expect them again to probably take care of business against the Bucs. Another great article this week on the site from Murph, just around the Bucs. And, you know, it's great to hear his thoughts on that every Monday now. Obviously, a little bit down on the team this week. I mean, I think we all were probably a little bit surprised at the halftime score last week, but by all accounts, it was certainly a game of two halves. And once the Saints got the noses in front, it didn't ever seem as though the Bucs were getting back into that game. So I'll take the Ravens in this one. I think it would more than likely come down to the fact that that's the best defence out of the two, because I'm not convinced by either on offence at the minute.
No, a lot of what you're saying I agree with. I'm really hoping the Bucs win for obvious reasons. Moving on now to Seahawks at the 49ers. The Seahawks are just finding ways to win. Like, they're going to probably wrap up the fifth seed in the NFC. Probably getting the playoffs. They're still going to be the team that everyone fears. The 49ers, despite beating the Broncos, if it wasn't for Greg Kittle, they would have literally nothing on offense. Don't believe in them. Taking the Seahawks on the road. Lee, you can tell us about the team that you watched last weekend in the Patriots at the False Ring Steelers.
Yeah, so this on paper should be a good game. And I actually think the Steelers will play up to the Patriots, because I think they have in the past. They see this as a big game. And I think a Mike Tomlin coach team just seems to play as well or as bad as their opponent is. You know, I don't think it's necessarily a talent issue. I'd like to see the Steelers win, to be honest, just because there's actually a mathematical chance that we can still catch the Patriots, no matter how unlikely. And the Patriots have actually been a fairly poor road team. So, but I think in all seriousness that Bill Belichick lights a fire under that team, because he will be extremely annoyed not only in the fashion that they got beat, but the fact that it's become a reoccurring theme that they can't win in a certain building. I don't think he's going to stand for that. Yeah, I think he really likes a fire under them, and they find a way to win this game and actually win the AFC East this weekend.
Again, I hope that happens. Nothing excites me more than Steelers' loss. Eagles or Rams, Sean?
Yeah, so it's definitely no wild card or bust for the Eagles after losing last week. Rams also obviously losing in Sunday Night Football, now lost home field advantage again. And personally for me, I can't stress enough how I think if the Saints secure home field advantage, that is, you know, home field advantage is huge for anybody, but for the Saints in particular, I just think that will be too much for anybody to overcome. So the Rams for me have got to win out and obviously now look for a bit of help. Interesting that we talked a couple of weeks ago off the back of one of the articles that I put up around kicking a PAT or going for it in terms of a two-point conversion. Don't know if anybody saw the conclusion to the Eagles game on Sunday. But effectively, they had an opportunity after kicking a successful PAT. The Cowboys were called for a penalty. So they could, if they have chosen to, actually put the ball on the one-yard line and gone for a two-point conversion, which would have put them 24-23 up and effectively have sealed the game. I wonder if Pedersen would have done that last year. And actually, is he playing a little bit scared this year, you know, all things considered? You know, for me, I think, you know, it's still a good game. I think, you know, the Eagles have played better in the last couple of weeks. I would fully expect the Rams to, you know, get back to winning ways, though, if I'm honest, back at home. The Eagles just haven't done enough to convince me on a week-to-week basis that they are a legitimate contender this year, unfortunately. Obviously, a terrible performance from Goff and the whole offense, really, for the Rams last week. But probably better to get that game out of the way in December than it is in January. So I'll take the Rams on this one.
No, it's a great point about the point after attempt, and would the Eagles have gone for two last year? Because last year, the Eagles just seemed like a team of destiny, and whatever they tried just seemed to work. Why they didn't go for it, or may have tried it, could we link this back to something we saw in London earlier in the year? The Titans tried to go for the winner in the last seconds against the Chargers and failed, and Mike Vrabel was absolutely slaughtered for it across the US media.
Yeah, I just think when you get to this stage of the season and it's becoming clear, you know, that was the absolute definition of a must-win game for the Eagles on Sunday. You know, they've got the ball at the 1 yard line. It's not even the 2 yard line. You know, so it's literally a yard. A quarterback sneak, you know, potentially gets you in there without having to be overly creative. I'm generally, as I said a couple of weeks ago when we talked about it, I am an advocate of you just kick the PAT and you move on. But I think, you know, game situation, I said, was always going to be crucial. I think, you know, you're right at the end of the game. Your season's effectively on the line. Surely you must trust yourself to get 1 yard in a play. If you don't trust yourself to get a yard in a play, then you're probably not going to do very well in any postseason appearance that you may or may not have. It looks like they probably won't have that postseason appearance now. Lee?
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing. You've got to be able to trust your guys to line up and say, man on man, we're going to get 1 yard. You know, even if it doesn't work, I think you've got to show that it tells your team a lot that I trust you to go out there and get 1 yard. Even if you fail, I believe that you can come out of it looking good by, you know, the players know you're fully behind them, but actually playing kind of reserved, I think can send the opposite message, a bit of a negative one.
No, I mean, from the 1 yard line, you just punch the ball in and you get on with it. Talking about teams that have got on with it, keep winning, the Saints are at Rob's Panthers.
Yeah, cheers, mate. As always, the battle of the NFC South between us and the Saints. Breeze, Newton, McCaffrey, Kamara. 11-2, 6-7. Could my Panthers come back from a current 5-game losing streak to overthrow the rivals? Possibly. Will they? No. In a nutshell.
We're biased, but not that biased.
Yeah, exactly. If anyone's going to win this game for either team, it's going to be the running backs. Apart from, obviously, Barkley, you've got arguably the two best running backs in one game there with Kamara and McCaffrey. It's going to be whichever can pick the other team's defence apart, which, given our current state with everything defence over at Carolina, won't be too hard for Breeze and Kamara. As it stands, in my opinion, there's some changes to be made, as I've said, in our franchise. Until they're implemented, I can't see much going our way. Saints, win for me, but I hope I'm proved wrong.
Now we move on to our second article review of the day. This one was written by Gary, clearly an LA Rams fan, about why Aaron Donald deserves the MVP award. Absolutely great article, Gary, and we thank you for your contribution to the site. You make a lot of really great points. Aaron Donald is up there with the best defensive players in the league and up there with the best players in the league on form this season. I don't actually agree that he should get the MVP award, though. I would be giving it to Patrick Mahomes or Drew Brees, like you mentioned. I actually think the best defensive player in the league right now, this year, has also been Khalil Mack. But it's certainly interesting to get a nice, really well-rounded article full of humour. And if anyone's not read it, go and read it, because Gary's done a great job. Sean, I know you communicated a bit with Gary and challenged him to write this article to start with. What do you reckon to the shout for Aaron Donald for MVP?
So for me, I think it's a brilliant shout out. And the reason I think it's a shout out, and where I would just challenge your thinking about Khalil Mack being the best defensive player, I actually think Khalil Mack should be, based on the position that he plays. Aaron Donald has no right to get the volume of sacks and pressures and things that he does from the interior of the line. That's where it's always sort of deemed, if you like, to be the most difficult position to get the brilliant article from Gary. I think, you know, if you look at the amount of times that Donald is double teamed in particular, you know, I think, you know, what's he say, 70% of the snaps. You know, he's got 4 forced fumbles on the year. He's on pace for 21 sacks. And he's just Mr. Consistent week in and week out. You know, he might not make the splash plays that somebody like a Khalil Mack does, because he's not coming from, you know, 5-10 yards off the ball and absolutely laying a lick on the quarterback, which, you know, creates the highlight type of play. But in terms of consistency and from the position that he plays, I mean, he for me is just head and shoulders above any defensive player in the league, if I'm honest. I think, you know, he for me would be certainly the defensive player of the year. I think the issue, as we discussed last week or the week before when we talked about it, is it generally does go to a quarterback. And I think, you know, again, I mentioned it already twice, I think, tonight on the pod. You look at that fourth down pass from Mahomes last week. That's the play that everybody remembers from that game. And that's why the quarterbacks get the award generally. You don't remember Aaron Donald's sack on second and three or whatever the case may be. It doesn't create that splash. But I think, you know, it's a brilliant article from Gary. And I think, you know, I actually think that, you know, rather than there being an MVP award, I think there should just be an offensive one and a defensive one. That would be my view on it.
No, I tend to agree with that. Do you think it makes a difference that Aaron Donald is playing in a D-line, which is the fourth most expensive in the NFL? Obviously, that includes his own salary, which is exceptional. And I think he's in the top five for defensive players. But he's got Sue alongside him, who has to be helping things. He's an incredible player in his own right. Lee will know a lot about Sue and what he can and can't do. But how much has Aaron Donald's even bigger explosion than a year ago been aided by the fact that he's got someone like Sue in the middle alongside him to detract attention?
Yeah, so I just wonder if when you're talking about the MVP, although it's an individual award, that we need to take into account the talent of the whole defense. That Rams defense is, like you said, a cost an awful lot of money to assemble. I don't know if that's a particularly long-term plan. But also, it's got good defensive backs on the field. They're coached by Wade Phillips. You know, that has got all the pieces there. And I wonder if Khalil Mack is actually doing it on a slightly lesser defense than the Rams. I just wonder if that should be taken into account. But I do agree, the MVP award should be split because it will go to an offensive player. I don't see a way. I mean, unless he ends up making a play that wins the Super Bowl, I don't think. I believe it just goes offense every time.
No, it's primarily an offensive award, and I think actually Sean's shout about splitting it as an offensive and defensive shout might actually be the shout of the year, because I haven't heard anything more logical said on this podcast ever. which is incredible in itself. I think there's another point that Gary makes in his article about back in 1986, Lawrence Taylor won the MVP award from the defensive line spot with the Giants, who went 14-2. The Rams could pop, I think, are they 12-2 at the moment? So they've got a really good chance of following that record.
Is it 11-2 at the minute, Chris?
They can tie that record. Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself, giving them the win this week already. go and bet on the Rams now. Missed it, Chris is here. Rob?
Echoing what Sean said, definitely. Everyone loves a good quarterback. Everyone loves Tom Brady. But it does need to be split. It definitely does need to be split between having a defensive MVP and an offensive MVP. There's no case in guys like Donald putting up numbers that he's putting up to then just be given not nothing, but in a sense nothing at the end of the year. It doesn't really seem fair. Everyone's playing the same game. We all know the quarterback's a guy to look at, but if you've not got the defensive line, then you've not got anything at all.
No, I would agree with that. Anybody got any final words on
Donald? Looking at Donald's stats, as of being drafted in 14, 248 tackles, 55.5 sacks, 13 forced fumbles and 2 fumble recoveries. They're not numbers to be ignored, but as we've said in the earlier on article and everything like that, it's not something that splashed all over the media to give the guy a case for MVP, which I do think is very unfair.
That's a good point, Lee.
Sorry, I was just going to say, on the Rams as a whole, I think the money they spent on defense is very much aimed at winning this year or next, because they're soon going to have to think about paying Jared Goff, and that changes the landscape. I believe, you know, it does with all teams, and you need to make hay while those good rookie quarterbacks are on rookie contracts. Sean?
Just one interesting thing that for me, just thinking about it, is obviously these awards get dished out, in my opinion, they get out, dished out prematurely anyway. You know, they're not dished out right at the end of the season. And we talked a little bit earlier about once you get to this stage of the year that all of a sudden the game starts to change. I think, you know, there were only probably two candidates in this running 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were both offensive players, they were both quarterbacks. I think over the course of the next, you know, 3 to 6 weeks, you will start to see the defences actually winning more of these games. And I think that's another factor into why it never seems to go to a defensive player, because they don't tend to make their biggest impact until later on in the year. You know, so for me, I think that's another reason why that the defences don't get as much love as they probably should do. I think, you know, just one other player to shout out, I don't think he's MVP, like, but just, you know, watching him on Sunday, I think that Luke Kuechly for the Panthers, Rob, he's an absolutely tremendous player. He was all over the field on Sunday. And he's certainly a piece for the Panthers defence to build around. He was incredible on Sunday.
Would you look at that? We're going to end the show with Rob having a smile.
For once.
It's always nice. Any final words, gents, on this article by Gary and Aaron Donald for MVP? Lee?
I think we should put it to a poll and get people to vote. Do you think that the MVP award should be split in two?
Great idea. I'm going to put that on Twitter tonight. and I'll have it on a 5-day poll so we can talk about it next week, first thing on the pod. Sean?
Yeah, just for me, I think just a big thank you to Gary for taking the time to put that article together when we discussed it. And I think that's what our site's all about. It really is about getting fans to put their views and opinions down. Nobody's right or wrong. Us four have a great laugh talking about it and debating things, and we disagree on things. Doesn't mean anybody's right or wrong. It is all about opinion. And I think, you know, a great article from Gary. And it'd be good to see some other articles from fans of other teams around, you know, some of their own players or their own teams. So, you know, keep the content coming, guys.
I couldn't agree more. And every article I appreciate it so much, having so many articles to talk about. We love talking about them, Pod, because they give us views that we perhaps haven't thought. I generally thought that Rams fans would all be backing Todd Gurley for MVP. Didn't know that there was this underground movement for Aaron Donald. So it's really interesting to hear that. I mean, just going back a few weeks as well, there was a great article. Well, I've mentioned the name already, Phil. A great article there. Nathan submitted this one on Tom Brady that was brilliant. We had one even further back about Vance Joseph. Murph's doing his weekly Bucks piece, which is also an absolute stunner. It almost teaches me about the Bucks every week more than I can catch up on by the time we're recording this pod. So, great. If you want to submit articles, we're always going to welcome it. Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. Would you like to give yourselves a quick plug for social media, Sean?
Yeah, so All32 Sean on Twitter, and look forward to this time next week, guys.
Brilliant. Lee?
Yeah, Lee Top Landing on Twitter. Let's talk about how much we dislike the Patriots.
Lee will be there all day with you. Rob?
Yeah, at justrob13, drop us a tweet. And just to echo what you guys said, everyone needs to start submitting articles, because the ones we get are absolutely fantastic, and we'd love to hear more views from different teams around the league.
Definitely, we'll try and cover as many as we can. You can follow myself mainly just on the All32 handle. That is the most important handle that I am running. I also run the UK Browns handle, which is also very fun, but very Browns biased. So if you don't want to talk about the Browns, go with All32. We'll just discuss the NFL. Thanks for listening, and say goodbye, everyone.
See you later.
See you later.